Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. And our friend Michael P. McCarthy's all the way out in Arizona, so I brought Christopher John O'Shea here with me today.
One Irishman to another.
There you go.
You're stuck with us.
And Paddy Day tomorrow, you know?
I mean, tax season, we just forget about all that.
I don't do anything on Paddy's Day, you know? I do something on Francisco's Day, you know, but not Christopher Colombo Day or something, you know. But who's going to worry about Paddy Day, you know? Anyway,
we're here.
We're here on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680 if you'd like to call in and ask a question. Because the open shows, they're the ones where you get to be the guest. You get to say, this is the direction I want to go. And I want to ask my questions that'll help me with my personal finance. You know, sometimes we do interviews and they may be helpful to you, they may be not. But when you get to call in and ask the question directly, you get the answer that's important to you. So if you want to do that, feel free to call in 410-922-6680 if you want to call in and ask a question. Funny, last week, I mean, we were just the beginning of the show was when we got slaughtered, you know, calls after call after call. And then at the end of the show, it started to slow down, which is almost the exact opposite of what we normally get. But right now, no one's on the line. So if you want to call in, 410-922-6680. And, you know, one thing I wanted to say, Chris, is that I really wanted to honor you because, you know, you've been willing to do this show with me for almost 20 years now. 30.
Well,
30 years.
93?
93 was
when
we first started. And then we stopped in 98. And you and I did it together for those 5 years in the 90s. And then you've been doing it with me again since about 2016
14.
Or 14, right?
14.
14, you came back with, you know, and did
it's
it.
It's a lifetime. It's a dog's lifetime.
So that's about 12 years, you know? I mean, I really admire you that you're willing to put up with me that long.
Like we say, we go back a little farther than that.
We go back further than that. We go back 51 years.
50. Yeah, but that would make me, you know, 59.
Wow.
Nine, no,
51 years, man. That's unbelievable. Wow. Anyway, we're on an open show, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. Chris, I wanted to address a question or a misunderstanding that a lot of people have. And I just had this the other day with a client, okay? You know, clients always say to me things like, well, Drew, if I take $10,000 out of my IRA, am I going to go into another tax bracket? And it's like, yeah, maybe, you know, it's like no big deal. Say you went into another tax bracket. Well, you know, people panic thinking I'm going into another tax bracket, Drew. Don't you understand the implications of that? And it's like, yeah, I really do. Obviously, you don't, but I do. And here it is. If you're out there driving around listening to us and you're thinking to yourself, man, I don't want to go into another tax bracket. You know, I don't want to go into that 24 or 31% tax bracket. You don't understand how tax brackets work. And I want to explain it to you so that you no longer fear going into another tax bracket. So the way the tax laws work,
I mean, it's still not a great thing, but it's not as bad as people think.
It's not a bad thing at all, period. You know, it is what it is. It's, you know, so here it is. So you make $100,000, and the first $20,000 is the 10% tax bracket. So you take
$20,000.
Yeah, well, I'm doing married, okay?
Yeah.
And single, it's a little different. It's about half of everything that I talk about today. So You get $20,000, and that's taxed at 10%. I don't care if you're Warren Buffett. Your first $20,000 is taxed at the 10% tax bracket. You make another 60-some thousand, and that's taxed at the 12% tax bracket. Again, you're Warren Buffett or whatever, you still get the 12% tax bracket. Then the next dollar is at the 22% bracket. That starts at about $82,000 and goes up to about $166,000. And that's the next $80,000 is taxed at 22%. It's only the dollars that go into the next tax bracket that are taxed at the next tax bracket level. You don't have a retroactive thing that pushes your income back to the beginning because you went into the 24% bracket. That's what a lot of people think when they go into another bracket, that it's actually going to impact all of their income and it's going to be a horrible thing. It is not a horrible thing. It is only the next dollars that go in. So if I go over the 24% bracket by $10, it's only that $10 that's going to pay at the 24% rate. So do not fear going into higher brackets. It's actually a good thing. What you really need to learn is where the cliff vesting is in tax laws. And we can talk about that a little more later when we come back. But we're on an open show tonight. And right now I have nobody on the line. So if you want to call in and ask a question and direct the conversation, now's the time. Now, well, Chris, stretch. That means stretch. You ever see Chris do that? It means stretch. That
Chris,
means
Chris the producer.
It means he's looking for me to talk a little longer. But anyway, I'm on an open show tonight. I'd like to have your calls because I'd like to answer your questions, 410-922-6680. When you heard me talk about that going into the next tax bracket, maybe you want more clarification because maybe you're one of those people out there that used to worry about
well,
this.
Well, in the 2016 law really made the AMT, the alternative minimum tax, way beyond most taxpayers.
Well, most people don't even know what the AMT is really all about.
Right, but more and more people were getting it.
So
when you think about that, there was some of this, the higher your income, you were getting this kind of retroactive tax.
All right. Well, we're ready, and we're going to come back open show tonight, 410-922-6680. Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the Financial Consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
There you go. Go, go, go. Anyway, we're here on open show, Money, Riches, and Wealth, if you'd like to call and ask a question. And we do have one caller online I'm going to go to in a second, but, you know, have the chance to call in and ask your question. And last week, you know, like I say, we had 5-6 calls in the first half hour, and then we had about 3 or so in the second half hour. Today, we have hardly any in the first half hour, and hopefully we'll have more before the end of this quarter of the hour. And then we'll see what happens in the second half of the show. 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. And it's actually my good friend Rebecca from Pennsylvania, Littlestown, right?
Yes. Yeah, hi. And I just want to say probably why you're not getting a lot of calls, because now it's daylight savings time and I can hear you clearly. but anyway, my question is, okay, I did my taxes and my husband left me, I'm fine, in a good shape, and I had this trust fund. and I had to pay over $6,000 in taxes.
In the trust or you personally?
In the trust. Personally, I did not have, I got a refund. Okay, so I my tax accountant said, like, maybe you should think about, like, you know, taking out money and paying the tax on this. And I said to her, but isn't that going to be considered income? And she said yes. And part of the reason
you need to take the income out of the trust. That's why you're paying so much taxes. Okay, so let me kind of give you a little bit about this. Okay, remember we were talking about tax brackets a second ago, right?
Yes, and that's why I called. Yes.
Yeah. So. You know, you, Rebecca, hit the 37% tax bracket at like $400-some thousand of income because you're single, okay?
Correct.
The trust hits the 37% tax bracket at any income left in there up to, it just has to be about $13,000. If there's more than $13,000 of income in there, the trust is going to pay at the 37% tax bracket. And
correct.
So if you take the money out of the trust then distributes the money to the beneficiary, and the beneficiary pays the tax on the trust income instead of the trust paying the tax on the trust income. And so it's usually best for beneficiaries to take the income out that they're allowed to take out of a trust. And so I would encourage you to consider taking the income out and paying taxes on it personally, as opposed to leaving the money in the trust and letting the trust pay taxes on it.
Okay, the only question I have about that, and I understand what you're saying, is that I'm also on the health insurance with Pennsylvania, and I can only have so much income.
Well, now that's a problem. So you're getting a premium tax credit with the Pennsylvania exchange, right?
Correct.
And how old are you right now?
I'm 63.
So you got a couple years to go to Medicare, right?
Right.
So when's your birthday? You're going to turn 64 this year?
Well, yeah, because it's January. Yeah, I hope to live till December, yeah.
Oh, so it's December of this year that you turn 64, right?
I hope so.
Yeah. So
my fingers crossed.
So by the end of 23, you'll be 65. So you got about a year and three.
I'll be 64.
Yeah, but you turned 65 at the end of 23 when you can join Medicare.
Okay.
All right. So that's key because you want to join Medicare and get off of the exchange.
Yeah, so, but I thought I had to be 66 and a half.
No. That's your full retirement age for Social Security. To join Medicare, you do it at 65, and it's very important that you join at 65, okay?
Well, I'm gonna look into this then, okay?
Don't mix up your full retirement age for when you can get the full retirement age Social Security income with when you have to join Medicare. You join Medicare at 65 years of age, okay?
Okay.
So at the end of December, you're going to join. So that means you have to keep your income down below about $60,000. Well, maybe it's a little lower than that. It's probably $50,000. So how much does your income typically come in at?
My income when I asked it was only $12,000.
Right now?
Yeah, because it's an annuity and Social Security, yes. And that's all.
Well, you got tons of room there to bring income in. You just may pay, you know, maybe $300 a month for your medical insurance instead of $50 a month or $100 a month.
Well, actually, it's zero right now.
Well, are you on Medicaid?
No, and it's a very odd situation that I've called you like several times because of the problem that I have with the government, and I'm just telling you it's been one thing after another, and I finally.
Well,
got
you have to keep your income up above a certain number. I think it's like $16,000 or so. So if you don't keep your income above $16,000, then you run the risk that they're going to want to move you to Medicaid. So
they did. They tried that, and I got this letter that was like. Like I got it like 2 days before I could even do anything. It was so odd, and I just said I'm not doing this. And so they don't care.
Yeah, well, that is very odd. But you really should try to keep your income up in about the $20,000 or $30,000 range, and just pay a couple hundred bucks a month in medical insurance premiums. Still a bargain.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll talk to. I appreciate your input.
Yeah. That's what I would do if I were you. I would be trying to keep. I would take that trust income out and move my income up into the 20-some thousand range. Tell exchange that my income changed to 20-some thousand. They'll make you pay a little more extra in, but that's okay. That's what you want. You don't want to take a chance that they're going to try to force you back to Medicaid.
I just want to tell you that when you have to deal with the government and you ask them to make a change, I mean, you might as well. I mean, there's something about, you know, kissing your butt goodbye.
Right. You remember Ronnie Reagan's favorite line, right? I'm with the government. I'm here to help you. It was the seven scariest words in all of the English language. I'm with the government. I'm here to help you. Anyway, all right, Rebecca, I got to go.
All right.
See, now Rebecca got a good 10 minutes of our time because we don't have any other callers. But that was a great question. The exchange is a very complicated thing.
Yeah,
and you've got to control that. You've got to control your income properly. And we do it all the time. We help clients get money, you know, clients that are worth maybe millions of dollars.
Well, and she had a lot of things going on there, a lot of moving parts. She got trust income, she got trust taxes, and yet you've got the subsidy going on the other side and not knowing how much income can come out of the trust.
And she's got to regulate it also that she doesn't have a problem. But anyway, we're on an open show tonight. 410-922-6680. Lines are open, totally open for the second half of the show. Maybe we'll get a big push in the second half of the show and do some things that can help people answer their questions. 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask your question, 410-922-6680. And plenty of lines open, so feel free to call in. But right now, I've got to go to traffic.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth here with Christopher John O'Shea, and we are on an open show. I have no idea. I think that's something more when I was in kindergarten.
My mother would be very pleased you used my whole name.
Christopher John O'Shea. Maybe she's probably listening, Chris, you know? Anyway, we're here on. I know our wives aren't listening, so that's for sure. Anyway, 410-922-6680 if you want to call and ask a question. We have lines open, and we're here. We can talk about anything you want to talk about. IRAs.
It's tax season, Drew.
Tax season. We can talk about investments. Social Security is always a big one. We can answer any question on Social Security. But let's go to Dave in Hallthorpe. Dave, how can we help you?
Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks for calling. Actually, I'm lonely here, Dave. Go ahead.
Well, I have a question. I wanted to get your thoughts on more so on the downside of I bonds.
There is none.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Well, I could come up with some theoretical kinds.
Because it seems like money in the bank, in a CD, you're getting nothing. And I know that the I bonds are paying a little over 7% right now. And I know you have to keep it in there for at least a year.
Yeah, so I would say the only downside is you buy them, you forget about them, and then, you know, if you're 2 years from now and the rate drops because inflation has cooled off, short-term rates are higher, and you've got a better alternative elsewhere. But as long as you're paying attention, there is no downside right now.
Yeah, I guess one of the big downsides, if you want to consider it a downside, is you can only put $10,000 in it. But that's $10,000
per
person if you're married, so it's $20,000. And also, here's a cool thing a lot of people don't know. If you're getting a big refund on your tax return, you can elect to have your tax refund be issued to you in I-bonds. That's a cool thing a lot of people don't know about, you know?
So I'm getting up to $5,000.
Up to $5,000, right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Up to $5,000, you know, and so forth. So there's no downside, Dave. Go for it.
Okay. I just figure it's better than letting money sit in the bank.
Absolutely.
This is just sort of somewhat of my emergency money, but I know that a portion of it that I can put in the I bond, I won't need it for a year.
Make sure you do them online with Treasury Direct. Okay,
correct.
Especially, yes, do it with online. The one negative to the putting your refund in is that it comes in a paper bond in the mail. And who knows if the U.S. Postal Service will ever get it to you, you know?
So it sounds like you've read up on it so that, I mean, you can't get the money back for 12 months. You're supposed to leave it in for five. If you bring it out after a year, you lose the last 3 months of interest. But basically, if you're getting zero in the bank and you're getting, you know, 7.12% right now.
I got to run, Dave. I got a lot of callers coming.
Take care. Thank you.
Bye. I don't know where they all come from sometimes. Kathy in Parkville, how can we help you?
My sister and I are both retired, and we have a house that my mother left us. Neither one of us need the money, but we both have kids, older kids. My sister would like to sell the house, and I would like to keep it and rent it. If we sell it, we'll make about $50,000. The house is free and clear. What would you do?
So let me ask you, when did your mother pass away?
2 years ago.
And you're saying the house was worth $50,000 less 2 years ago than it is today?
Yes.
Okay. So the house may have been worth, say, $200,000, and now it's worth $250,000.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. Both sides have great arguments, okay? Renting is a great thing, but being a landlord is not something that most people, after they've done it, would ever want to do again. But if you are willing to do it and put up with being a landlord, renting the house can be an excellent thing. But at the other hand, if you can sell the house and take the profit out of the house and move on and do something different with it and have the liquidity of the cash, that would be great too. You know, you could always buy your sister out and be the landlord and rent it and let her have her cash. That's not a bad deal either, is it?
No, we've thought of that.
Yeah.
But I didn't know which way, you know. Let me
ask you a question. You ready to be a landlord? If you are, then it's not a bad thing. You know, but you be prepared for being a landlord. It's, you know, I don't care. You know, you might get that lucky tenant every once in a while. You have one out of 50 have that lucky tenant where they're really just really good and they like.
They're like homeowners.
They're like homeowners and so forth. But the other 49 and the first 25, you don't even want to know what happens, you know. So anyway, that's my thought, Kath. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Take care. I can't answer the question for her. I can only give her the education. Yep. You know, Debbie in Whitehall, how can we help you?
Well, I'm now collecting Social Security, and there's a monthly limit as to how much you can make. I work part-time, and I can do my own hours.
How old are you?
So if I work in February, but I get paid in March the next week, what month do I put that money on as I tally it?
So you're on Social Security. How old are you now?
65.
Okay. So, and when did you turn 65? Last year or this year?
November. I've just been doing this a few months.
Okay. So November. So you're actually hit your full retirement age next year, right?
Yes.
Next year. So you 66 and 6 months.
But I already started taking it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I understand. So it's the only year that you're going to have an issue with earned income. How much do you think you're going to make this year?
Oh, you mean it only matters until I hit full retirement.
It only matters this year for you, okay? Because
I don't work all the months. So for me, it only matters what my monthly limit is.
No. This year, it's a full year. There's no month. Monthly was last year when you started Social Security. This year,
but I won't turn 66 until November of this coming year.
Well, but your full retirement age is 66 in 6 months. So
okay.
It's next year. Once you get to January, you could make anything you want, basically. Okay? So how much do you think you're going to make this year?
Oh, probably around 10 or 12,000.
You don't have anything to worry about. You can make up
yeah,
the...
Yeah, but I'm going to make that all in... like.
It doesn't matter. This year is a yearly. It's not monthly. It's yearly. So
really?
What are you going to make between January 1 and December 31st? The only time it's monthly is in the year you have a partial year that you start Social Security and you're below your full retirement age, which would have been like last year. OK, okay? That was monthly, okay? Once you got to January and you were collecting Social Security on January 1, right? You were collecting on, then it's a yearly. It's what did you make between January and December 31st? That's all that matters. And as long as you don't make more than $19,000, you're in like Flynn. I don't care if you made it all in one day. All right?
Okay.
I hope that makes you feel better.
And that's because I turned 60.
No, that has nothing to do with anything other than that you started Social Security last year, right? Not this year.
I started it November.
Right, last year. That would have been your monthly year. They would have looked at your monthly earnings. But the minute you got to January 1, 2022, they're going to look only at the total year earning, even if you made it all in one single day, Debbie.
Okay. I had no idea.
And then next year, they're not even going to look at it because that's your full retirement age.
Okay.
All right?
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I thought of another question while I was listening.
All right. Go ahead.
So anybody that has a mortgage, like on a house or a piece of equipment, with interest rates going up now, should they desperately be trying to pay off that principal?
Well, that's
goes up too high.
So is it a variable interest rate on the things that you have?
Well, I don't have one. I'm thinking about my kids, and I'm hoping not have a variable.
Most people don't have variables, okay? Like, I don't have any loans that are variable. Every loan I have is fixed at some interest rate that I'm more than happy with, regardless what interest rates go to. So, but yes, if you had a variable rate, I would be working to try to make sure I paid those off. But I'd bet you anything that most of your kids, their mortgages are fixed for 30 years, and their car loans are fixed for 4 or 5 years, and they don't have any variable loans.
Well, that'd be marvelous.
Yeah. Okay. All right, I got to go.
I don't ask them because it's not my business to ask them.
Well, that's very nice of you, you know. Yeah, but sometimes they'd like you to ask because then they can ask you for money. And if you sell that house, then that was the other lady, right, who had the house to sell, right?
Yeah.
All right, Debbie, good question.
Hey, I appreciate your show. Thank you so much.
Right, thank you. We're on an open show, and Alan, we're going to have to take you after the break. We're going to come back, and we're going to get your question. Hopefully, you'll hold on with us, because that's a great topic, bankruptcy, and there's a lot of people who probably don't want to ask those kind of questions. So if you'll hold on with us, and we have lines open, too. We have 3 or 4 lines open, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. Right now, I've got to go with traffic. We'll be right back. Money, riches, and wealth. Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the financial consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right. We're going right to Alan because we made him hold on there. Alan.
Yes.
How you doing, my friend?
I'm good. How are you today?
Doing great. What's up?
I had a question about back taxes.
Okay.
My income has been going negatively for the last 5 years. So I don't have the extra money to pay back taxes. And now I'm considering filing bankruptcy. if I do that, do the taxes come back and haunt me when I get my head above water?
Yes. You can't bankrupt your way out of tax to payments. You have to make a deal with the IRS. You'd have to find, you know, you'd either have to negotiate it yourself with them, or you'd have to find somebody to negotiate a deal. So if you can get a deal closed with them, but bankruptcy does not close them out. They can come back to you after bankruptcy.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure before I...
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Student loans and taxes are two things you cannot get rid of in bankruptcy.
Right, okay.
All right, buddy?
All right, that helps.
All right, take care. Good question, though. We're going to somebody in Elk Ridge. That's Steve. And I got glasses here, Chris. You see that? I could see that. Look, I put that on, and I saw it was Steve in Elk Ridge. Steve in Elk Ridge, how can we help you?
Yes, sir. Love your show. Quick question. I have an IRA. Actually, my wife's got an IRA that she got about 16 years ago.
Okay.
It was her company did an ESOP, and she got a deposit in her account. And it was after we were married. And now I'm sorry to say, I think we're going to be splitting up. But I noticed that my name is not on the IRA. Is that something I should do? Should I put my name on it?
You can't have your name on an IRA. IRAs, all retirement accounts always have to be in individual names.
I see.
Okay, but you don't have anything to worry about because if you were married when that ESOP was funded and so forth, then it would be a marital asset and it'll be split accordingly with you.
Got it. So there's no pressure to hurry up and get my name on it because it doesn't sound like...
You couldn't get your name on it if you wanted to, so don't worry about that. But there's nothing for you to worry about because if she earned that money in an ESOP when she was married to you, it is clearly a marital asset, and you won't have to worry about getting a portion of that IRA.
Understood. Thank you so much for your advice.
All right. Not a problem. Good question, though. Bye. Very good. All right, you know, but that's,
these unfortunate things that happened, the last two calls. But, again, financially, you just need to
The answers, right? Yeah, you need to know the rules. But now, like, let's say Steve and his wife got married, and before they got married, she had an ESOP. And the ESOP gave her a distribution before they got married, and she rolled it into an IRA. And then they got married 6 months or so, a year later. Now she'd have a pretty good grounds to say, hey, this money was never a marital asset, and I never put any more money in this account, and so forth. So, you just like you say, you have to know the rules and so forth. And there are unfortunate things that happen, like bankruptcy and divorce, but you really want to know the rules so that you get what's fair. And that's really all that anybody should want. Nobody should want more than what is fair, right?
Sure. We've seen instances in the last couple years where, we always heard this, where spouses think that they can just cut off the other spouse.
Or hide money, you know, and go do that kind of stuff because they don't feel like giving them this or that, et cetera, et cetera. You know, but that really is not a good thing. Not healthy for anyone.
No, you take it to the courts and the courts are going to, you know, they're going to do the logical thing.
Yeah.
They're going to do what the law says. They're going to split assets.
We are on an open show. We only have about 5 minutes left. If somebody wanted to try to call in and ask a question, 410-922-6680. But otherwise, we'll ramble on about something or the other. You know, we're doing lots and lots of tax returns. And, you know, as I was talking about at the beginning of the show, Chris, is tax brackets. Tax brackets and going into the next tax bracket is not a problem at all. It's not an issue that anybody should be sitting around, I went into the 24. Well, you went into the 24% bracket. Well, praise God you did because that means you made more money. But you got the advantage of the 10% bracket. You got the advantage of the 12% bracket. You get the advantage of the 22% bracket. And if you go into the 24% bracket, it's only the amount of money that actually was in that higher bracket that's going to be taxed. The thing you really need to worry about are cliff vesting tax things. And to give you an example of that, in Maryland, you ready for this? And you know, you wonder. I mean, I get so frustrated with Maryland politicians because they are so ruthless to the residents of this state. They're ruthless, downright ruthless. When you do a Maryland tax return, you just want to throw knives at them because it's just unbelievable how evil the Maryland tax system is to Maryland residents. I'll give you an example, okay? So I was doing a tax return for this client, and they made $150,050, okay? That was their adjusted gross income on their federal tax return. They had two children, so two adults, two children, four people. They should get four times $3,200, which works out to, what, $12,800 as an exemption?
Maryland exemptions.
Maryland exemption.
Deduction from their income.
They should get $12,800 on their Maryland tax return. But because their adjusted gross income for federal purposes were $150,050, they only got a $6,400 exemption. Now, multiply $6,400 that they just lost by 8.5%, okay? And that works out to about $500-$600. I think it's almost $500 or $600 because of $50 over the federal gross income.
Yeah, how's that fair?
$50. You know, you said you're talking about that's a 10-fold plus tax increase because they made $50. Well, you know what? I was able to figure out, Chris, that the client was eligible for an IRA. So I put $100 in an IRA. And that $100 made that client $600 in tax savings. And I just smiled. I loved it.
Like I said, you blow raspberries at the state?
That was just beautiful. But, you know, here's the problem. Most people are out there doing their tax return with TurboTax or something like that. They have no clue what happened.
Right.
It just happened.
You trust the number. You push the button. You trust the calculation.
Yeah, and now, you know, let's go to the next one where the Maryland tax law is just downright evil. And, you know, they should be ashamed. And I can't imagine that these people keep voting them in over and over and over. And Larry Hogan should be embarrassed to call himself a Republican to allow this tax plan to continue on in this state. But anyway, here it is.
Well, he can't do anything about it. They override everything he does.
He can at least argue and pound the table and say this is an evil and get the people in the state. He could lead the cheerleading to say, you know, this is an evil tax program in this state. It's probably one of the worst I've seen in the country. But anyway, here you go. So a client comes in, and they have $25,000 itemized deductions. But the itemized deduction rules in the federal government, standard deduction, is $25,100, okay? So the client, you know, TurboTax says, hey, $25,100 is better than $25,000 itemized deductions. Boom. Standard deduction federal. Get the max money out of the federal government. Well, but you're sitting in Maryland. Well, why is that a problem? Well, Maryland doesn't let you itemize unless you itemize on your federal return. Why does Maryland do that, by the way? You know why? Because they use the federal government for enforcement. Okay?
Sure.
Because the federal government and Maryland have a reciprocal agreement that if federal government finds any deduction that somebody took that was wrong or they have income they didn't report, they immediately have to tell Maryland. And Maryland then goes and says, oh, by the way, the federal government said that wasn't a deduction. You owe us money, too. Oh, by the way, the federal government found income. You owe us money, too. Because Maryland doesn't want to spend the money on enforcement, so they use the federal government. Anyway, here's the point. If you don't itemize federal, you don't itemize Maryland either. Well, when you don't itemize Maryland, you know what the federal standard deduction is? It's $25,000 for people under 65 years of age. You know what the Maryland standard deduction is? And they raised it for us, too, Chris. They raised it because they were really concerned about it. It's like $4,500 and, what is it, $4,550 now?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? 4550. 4550 compared to the federal government, 25,000.
They should be ashamed. Washington, D.C.'s matched the federal.
Absolutely. And Virginia at least raised theirs to $13,000. They didn't insult the people and raise it by 100 or 500 bucks. It was insulting what they do to the residents of this state, and nobody seems to be rising up and saying, we're getting rid of you guys. We're tired of it. We're sick and tired of it, because that's why people like me move out of this state, because I just can't stand it. I can't stand what they do to me, and I couldn't stand what they did to my clients. Anyway, how's that for an ending dialogue?
Well, you weren't just wondering what to talk about.
Anyway,
make something up, so anyway.
And this is True Tignanelli saying God bless.